Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
I'd like to talk about the priesthood of Christ. We've been talking about priesthood, and even what I want to talk, whatever I have to say, must have been touched, brushed, identified, and spoken on by the previous speakers. And like I said, we're going to have a lot of repetitions. So what I'll just do is see and go through this briefly as possible, but now look at some areas and emphasize it a little bit, as I believe God is leading me. Amen. We have looked at priesthood in the Old Testament, and we have looked at priesthood in the New Testament. Amen. So we want to focus now on the priesthood of Christ. And we need Psalm 110. Please. The Lord said unto my Lord, we have looked at that briefly last time. The Lord, in capital there, in the Old Testament, especially in the King James Version, refers to Yahweh, the Jehovah God of Israel. And the Lord said unto my Lord here is talking of Christ, and it's a prophecy of David. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Verse 2, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. Go ahead, please. The people shall be willing in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Go ahead. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. Go on. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. Amen. Now, there are a few things that are there which I want to emphasize briefly. In the first place, don't forget what we looked at, and that is the fact that the priesthood of Christ is the real object of which the Old Testament priesthood was just a shadow. He is the real high priest, and we are the priests under him. Moses, according to Hebrews chapter 3, served in the house, but Jesus was the builder of the house. And like the scripture says, the builder of the house is greater than anyone who could walk in that house. And that house is the one house which is called the Israel of God. And that consists of what we call in theology Kahal Jehovah, the church in the wilderness, and the New Testament church. So the two brought together is the mystery that was not known to anybody before Paul. And Paul was the carrier of that mystery. Even though God started to show it with Peter when he went to minister to the family of... Thank you. Acts of Apostles chapter looking at me. All right. In Acts 10, we see God breaking the ice and doing something new by telling his servant to take the gospel to the Gentiles. That's how the whole thing starts. If you read that story, it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting because here was this humble, gentle, committed Israelite who God was making to do things he didn't want to do. He thought he was doing his best to serve God in righteousness, and God was telling him to do bad things. God said, "Hey, rise and kill and eat." He said, "God, what? How can I kill and eat? I'm a Jew, and I'm a good Jew for that matter. I don't eat this kind of bad stuff." And God said, "When I sanctify, when I say eat, you eat." So the idea, and he had to do it 3 times to convince this guy. And after the 3rd time, don't forget, before he went to that trance, he was hungry, which symbolized his desire to reach souls for Christ. And then God came and gave it to him. But what God gave him was not what he was used to. And the Bible said, when he woke up, immediately there were people waiting at the gate. You know the story, don't you? Good. So, with that, the exploration of God into the second part of his... I showed you from the scriptures, everything that God was dealing with before that time was the offspring of Abraham according to the flesh. The uncountable sand. You remember? Good. And then now God started the uncountable stars. That's where you and I are involved. And together, we form one body. We form one church. We form one house. Amen? So, the priesthood of Christ is primarily to the priests, to the fellow priests, not to the outside. It is the responsibility of the priests under him to do the external thing. This is why when he has gotten the power and the authority, he has finished his work. In Matthew 28 verse 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and said, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore." Amen. So we are to take care of the outside there. And our high priest takes care of us. He ensures that we make it to the end. That is his concern. That we make it to the very end. Amen. So, the word of God is that to make a success, let's go to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, you still have Matthew 28 there. Yeah, there is so much that we need to say. I wish I could spend some more time with that. But, hello? Maybe I should just say one word there. Hello? Every power in heaven and on earth has been given unto who? Hello? Every power in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And he said, based on that, go into the world. I'm sure you must have people who say, Every power in heaven and on earth has been given unto us. It's a lie. Oh. Hello? I want a very honest person here. Sincerely honest person. To stand up. One person. Who is seriously, sincerely honest. Stand up. Thank you, my dear. Thank you. I have a question for you. If God were to give you all power in heaven and on earth for 24 hours, what will you do with it? I can't hear you. You can't fact. I can't even imagine it. Oh my goodness, your enemies are in trouble. And the banks around you are in trouble. You know what I mean, eh? Sit down. Thank you for being honest. This is why God will not give you. He won't give you every power in heaven and on earth. You know what he decides to do? He decides to say, you go. Remember, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm right here with you. But as for that power, I can't trust you. You need such a... Listen to me. The things that we see now, that we call power, they are just drops in the ocean of who God is. And see how much trouble is bringing us. It's destroying us. So little power. You can see how boastful we are. Call this number. The moment you call this number, that's the end of all your life problem. What does he have? What does he have? So the Bible says, the word of God is, you go, and these signs will follow you. And Jesus promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So right now, right as I'm speaking now, Jesus is right beside you. He's right here. He's right beside you. There are two things that come from that. Number one, it's a motivation for purity. Because when you know that Jesus is quite close by, you will be careful what you will do. Huh? There was this young girl who this rich, foolish man had his eyes on her. She was a born-again child of God, well-taught. And this foolish man offered her and said, I'd like to sleep with you. And the girl said, no problem, sir. He said, oh, yeah? I said, yeah, no problem. And the man said, when are you ready? He said, I'm ready anytime, sir. Just take me to where God will not see us. He said, what? He said, yeah, because he's always with me. Jesus is always here with me. So if you can get a place where we will do it, and God will not see us, I'm all yours. Huh? If every time you want to say those things that you say, that you should not say, you remember Papa is with you, you will be careful. If you just remember all the time that his promise is real, that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, it's a motivation for purity. And secondly, it's a motivation for boldness in prayer. Because you know that you are just the physical representative, you are the one people see, but you are not the one that is doing the work. And so you are bold enough to say in the name of Jesus, knowing that the Jesus is there here with you. That's what is there in that Matthew 28. And so, we are... The purpose of our high priest is to fortify us so that we'll be able to minister to the outside. We have... In the course of all we've been listening to, you have heard about the three portions, the external, that hall, that big hall outside in the tabernacle, and then the holy, which belongs to the priests, where the priests function, And then the inner one. The one we are talking about now is the one that belongs to the inner one. The one that the man of the inner. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let me have that to 16 first. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. One more verse. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Don't forget, these words that were spoken to God's priests. We are the ones that represent him here. And he took his time, not only when he was here physically, to build the core of followers, but even when he has gone, we are hearing from this, the writer of the book of Hebrews. Theologians are so divided as to who the author is. I am on the side of Paul because of the internal evidences that we have there. This is not a theology class, so let's leave that. Amen. But what we are saying here is Paul is saying, the writer of this Hebrews is saying here that our high priest is a person who understands what we are and is always there for us. He said, therefore, let us hold on to our profession, what we have professed, what we have confessed, what we believe in, and let's hold it unto the very end. And because of who he is, we are to go, we can come boldly. We can come boldly. Amen? That is to say, if we are going to make a success of our life of faith, if we are going to succeed, we will need the ministry of our high priest. Because he's the one who is empowered to help and is willing to help. Amen. Verse 14 again, please. Verse 14 again. Just go back by two verses. Verse 15. Good, that's what I'm looking for. 15. No. 14 again. I'm looking for the word great. That is where I'm going. Since then that we have a great high priest. Now, the question is, what makes him great? Don't forget that the audience of the letter to the Hebrews were Hebrews. These were descendants of Abraham. They understand the idea of the high priest. So, there was the need for that writer to distinguish Christ from all the others. And then he put the word great. So, there are high priests were appointed every year. But, so it's not just a matter of high priest. It's the great high priest. What makes him great? According to that content, number one, he has gone through the heavens into the very presence of God. Even as the high priest passed through the veil into the Holy of Holies. Do you hear that? Don't forget again. We are now dealing with reality. Not shadow anymore. The shadow, to make the shadow what is supposed to be, that is, to truly represent the reality. If you see my shadow, in all probability it's me. It's just that it's reflecting me. So whatever you can catch in the shadow is likely to be in the reality of the object. Are you following me? Good. So the word of God is saying here that this great high priest of ours didn't go just behind a curtain veil. No. Didn't go through just a curtain veil. He went through the very heavens. He went to the very presence of God. So, this is why by the time the veil, when Jesus Christ was crucified, the Bible said at a point in time, the veil was torn. Hello? The veil was what? Hello? Do you know the story of the crucifixion? Hello? The story of the crucifixion says, at a point in time when Christ was crucified, the veil of the temple was what? It was cut into two. Josephus, the Jewish historian of the early centuries, told us in his writing that the thickness of the veil was such that if two horses were driven in different directions, they would not be able to tear it. If one side of the veil was tied to a horse here and another here, and they were made to run in different, they will not be able to tear it. That is how thick the veil was that separated God from everybody. This is why only the holiest, only the chief priest could go behind that veil. Amen? But with the veil being torn by the power of God, the door was open. We now have access. This is where the word of God says. So, the Son of God went into the very innermost, into the Holy of Holies, in the heavens, not the clothed one, not the woven one, no. It was for the shadow. That one was for the shadow. The real one went to heaven. And in heaven, went to the very presence of God. Amen. Now, I'm looking at the word great. The second thing that makes him great is, you see, we have a high priest, great high priest, that is passed into the heavens. And now he said, this is Jesus, the Son of God, not any other person. Our great high priest is Jesus, the Son of God. There is power in that name. The fact that the writer to the Hebrews, he wanted to emphasize that the person I'm talking about, I don't want you to mistake him. Don't forget that the name Jesus was a common name in Israel at that time. It's a variant of the word of the name Joshua. Yehoshua. God himself is the salvation. And so, to distinguish him, his very name had to be mentioned. So, we are talking of a great high priest who is great because of where he went to. Not the man-made veil, but the very presence of God. And number two, we are talking of Jesus, the Son of God. Amen? So that very name What makes it powerful is that he is both man and God. He is both sympathetic and powerful. That is the ground for which he now says, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. Why? Because our high priest also has suffered, and he has been tempted in every way, and yet he remained faithful to the end. What does that mean? That means he can understand our experience, our weaknesses, and he's willing and able to do something about it. Amen? Now, I need to do a digression here, which I believe is germane to this. Now, let's go back to the basics. Let's go to the beginning. And when I say beginning, I mean the beginning of man. Let's go to Adam. Don't forget in Genesis 3:15, the promise of redemption was given to us in the promise of God that the seed of the woman, will do what? And that serpent will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. Now, don't forget that when God was giving that promise, it has already been done. Are you following me? For those of you who are looking at me like, where did he get one? That one. Revelation 13:8. Come on. Revelation 13:8. What does he say? Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That's talking about the Antichrist. Whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So when was Jesus slain? So before Adam sinned, the solution to his sin has already been found. When Jesus Christ came, you see, this may be very basic. Forgive me if you just say, so what is new in what he's saying? Forgive me. Who knows? Somebody may need it. Hello? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what part? What was the passage? Come on, give me where that is. John 1:1. Okay, technical, go there, because we need to do some work there quickly. It's your 1 hour. I hope it will, you know, because it will be some time before I come back. I can offend you, seriously. So if I extend that. Because there are some things that are crucial here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does that mean? Now, don't forget that in the beginning, this is the beginning before the beginning that you know. In that beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. What does that mean? It simply means, Pastor Sanibi, please stand up. Pastor Sanibi, please sit down. Who raised him up? Who raised him up? I didn't say what. I said who? Me. Did I touch him? I didn't touch him. But I raised him up. By what? By my word. Huh? Good. Now, what does that mean? It means my word is me. So, when I speak, you can quote me and make me stand to answer for what I say. Good. Well, let's go to with God. Now, for how long have I had my word? Eh? Hey, please, my sister, I want to hear you. For as long as I've been existing, I've had my word. So, let's just translate it to God. Let's transfer it to God. So, God had his word. And his word is as old as him. Okay. So, in the beginning, there was the word. And the word was... It was with God. And the word was God. Just like my word is me, your word is you, and my God's word is God. Amen? Alright? In the beginning, what did God do? In Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then John chapter 1 now says, when you continue with John chapter 1, he says, this word created everything. Huh? And without him, nothing was created. So everything that was created by the word. Now, who is the word? The word was God. Okay, now. Because of the environment we are now, if you want to use your word on the pastor, you are not likely going to talk to him. This environment is not conducive for you talking to pastor. Even those who are whispering, you are causing distraction. You don't want to cause distraction, but you must talk to the pastor. So what do? There are so many options. You can just write, "Pastor, see me outside." Is that your word? Yes, but not spoken. Good. So, with me, your word can take more forms than spoken. Huh? Good. You can text it. Whichever way, it is still your word. Good. Now, when God wanted to create the word, he used the spoken word. He said, "Let there be," and there was. So, he spoke, the word went forth and switched on the light. And he went on and moved on like that from one to the other, until he finished everything. Okay, now when it was time to save the world, God could have said, "You are all saved. And we will be saved." Whether or not you like it. But God wasn't looking for conscripts. He wasn't forcing people. For God so loved the world, whosoever believeth in him, you are free to go to hell if you choose. That's the meaning. It's your choice. So what did God do? God now sent his word in a different form. And so in that John chapter 1, by the time you read verse 14, I think it says, "And the word became flesh." The word became flesh. How did the word become flesh? You see, when you look at Hebrews 10:5, quick, let me see Hebrews 10:5. It's either 10:5 or 5:10, whichever. Come on, Hebrews. Now listen, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me." Hello? Huh? Now, this is the word. It has done the creation. Now it's going to do the salvation. So how does the word come now? It has refused. God has chosen not to speak it. He decided to put it in an envelope. And that envelope is the womb of Mary. a body hast thou prepared for me. So God prepared a body, put it in the womb of Mary, and spoke the word into it. And now the book of John says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Because the Bible says he is the image of God. Another word for image is picture. Amen? So when the word was put in the envelope, and it matured, and he was born. And when we saw him, who did we see? Eh? Come on, be confident. Who did we see? Who was that boy running around in Nazareth? God! And so, he knew what he was. He knew about who he was before he took on the flesh. You know what the Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says? He said, let this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who even though he was God, he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. He did not steal it. It is his. That's who he was. But he humbled himself. He put off the glory because of the assignment that he was given. There is this title to Jesus loved a lot. Son of man. He was son of God. But he used the word son of man because it was man dying for man. No angel could do it. And now the point is where I'm going now. Why did he become man? One of the reasons he became man. Let me give you two reasons quickly. The first reason is because until he became man, he would not be fulfilling the justice of God. It was man that sinned. It was man that must redeem him. And so, he needed to be man. Two, he needed blood for the sacrifice. Angels don't have blood. So he needs to be man. Because he needs his blood to take through to the Holy of Holies. And number three, he needed to be a true representative of humanity. He is not like your senator who is representing you in Abuja. Who doesn't know what you are suffering here? He doesn't know anything about your state of mind. Doesn't know anything. And is collecting millions every month representing you. Jesus was not going to do that. So he came and he went through everything that we go through. Without sin, except for sin. He was tempted. So when you say, when Jesus, don't forget, it's right now, 7:25, Hebrews, he said he can save unto the end those who come to God through him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession. And so in his role there, this is what the word of God says. He said, you don't worry, be confident. Why? Because our high priest, our great high priest, who has gone through everything we go through, he can always see us to the end. Because when you pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am lonely, I'm suffering. God the Father never came here. So he turns to the son, he said, what is this one saying now? he said, Daddy, I know what it is. It's not a good thing to be lonely. I was there. God, I have been betrayed by my friend. And God said, Jesus, what is he talking? He said, I had one around me. I had one with me. You know his name. I tried to look for a copy of that book. I didn't see it. God told me to write a small book. You know the title? Thank God for Judas. Yep. Okay, forget I told you. When I have a copy, I will give it to the pastor. And he's going to... You see, what I'm saying is this. The word of God says we can make it. Because we have a high priest who is in the order of Melchizedek. What does that mean? It has been explained, but let me just add a little. Don't forget, Melchizedek doesn't have a name in the list of that tribe. The Bible says he has no beginning, he has no end, he has no... That is not to say that he was anything unusual other than simply that God did not allow us to know any of those facts because they are not important. What is important is God has a right to set up others without your permission. Without the approval of all the rules and the regulations, God has every right to jump any protocol he wants to jump. And that's exactly what he did when he went and he said, Jesus, you are after the order of Melchizedek. Don't forget, many people say, who is this one? You know, they ask him so many times, who are you? Identify yourself. He said, go check the scripture. And these people are too busy to read scripture, except the one that allows them to make money. He said, the scripture is about me. Go and read it. So Melchizedek was an elusive person. But you can't call him elusive because even before he gave birth to Isaac, he paid tithe to that great man. So, greatness doesn't follow man's order. Greatness does not follow the fact, oh, he was born by a senator, you'll be great. You deceive yourself. You are great because God has chosen you to be great. You are great because God, you have said yes to what makes people great according to God. So, this man, Melchizedek, we don't know. This Jesus, why will he be after the order of Melchizedek? He didn't even come from the Levitical order. He didn't come from the Levi line. He came from Judah. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. What's Judah got to do with priesthood? Nothing, except that God, who does whatever he likes, has decided to choose him. Amen? So, the unusualness of Jesus includes the fact that despite everything that he was, he submitted himself. Amen? Amen. Now, children of God, I spoke this afternoon about the external rules and order. Jesus' own service ushered in the internal one. This is why when the writer of the Hebrews was talking, he said, if the glory that passes away comes through such external rules, and it was so powerful, the glory was so great that you have to cover the face of Moses. He said, how much more of this one that will be eternal? That's talking about Jesus. Amen? Now, all that the Old Testament priests and high priests did was that they imposed a temporary value, ritual, symbolic things. According to the scriptures, we believe, we assume, all this came from God because Moses gave those orders and rules and regulations. I've given you those passages when I was giving my previous things. Now that the right time has come, the veil has been broken, and what the ancient priesthood could not accomplish, Christ was able to accomplish. Amen? He has entered once and for all into the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is, it's not part of this creation. The tabernacle that was made, although it followed the pattern that he saw in heaven on the mount, but the materials were from this earth. By the instruction of God through Moses, there were acacia wood, there were this, there were that were put together. But this is a product from creation. That will not do it. It will not do it because the created cannot save the created. It doesn't matter how holy it may look to you. It doesn't matter how religious it may be. What will save you will have to be from outside of you. It cannot be you. Hello? And so when people put their trust in the external, they are still walking under the shadow. They are still walking with the shadow. Jesus Christ, once and for all, enter into the Holy of Holies, which was outside the creation. Amen? And to enter the Holy of Holies in heaven, he had to destroy the Holy of Holies on earth. If he had gone anywhere into the Holy of Holies while the one there was still standing, there will be confusion. There will be conflict. He had to render this one useless by opening it up. Because by opening it up, the Bible says there is now direct access for the priests who are supposed to never see what was inside. They can now go in there. Why? Because Jesus has entered into the innermost Holy of Holies, and the Bible says he did it just once. So it's not a matter of every year, like the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when the high priest goes in there for 1 year. I mean, for 1 day, to cover 1 year. And you know the story. I don't have to waste our time with that. You know, when he's going in there, they put a chain around his waist. So that when you don't hear from him and you try to pull it, if he pulls it back, then you know he's still alive. And before he enters into that place, there is always a big pot of water, which was the mirror at that time. He has to be sure he's properly dressed. If he doesn't dress properly, he can go in and never come back. And this is why our Jesus was also perfect in all things. Amen. Let me begin to... All right. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 1. In that Hebrews chapter 5, the word of God tells us something which, because of our time, I want to just dwell a little on it. Let me see verse 2. Verse 3. By reason thereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. Verse 4. Now no man taketh this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said, he that said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten you. Go on. And he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Go ahead. Who in the days of his flesh, when he has offered up prayers and supplications, now we are getting there, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was hardened that he feared. Verse 8. Though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9. I'm finishing at verse 10. And being made prophet, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Verse 10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Let me see verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say. Okay, let's leave it at that. If Paul had many things to say and he couldn't say it, I would not be surprised if I have many things to say and I can't say it. Hallelujah. Now, Hebrews chapter 12. I have to begin to round up now. I really, really, really wish. We may have to arrange something. Don't commit me. You're already saying yes, sir. I know you very well. I know how you jump at opportunities. And wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Amen. Now listen, children of God. Don't forget, Jesus is our high priest. You can't go beyond him. You are the priest that he's raising. And he says, you are to keep your eye on that Jesus. He's the beginner, the architect. The word author actually means architect. He's the one that designed everything about your life, your style, everything. It all originated from him. And he's the finisher. He's the perfecter. So, what are you supposed to do? You are to keep your eye on him. And what is it? For what? For what? It's for reward. Somebody say reward. You know what reward is? Reward is your payment for services, payment for endurance, payment for everything that you have put into a course. The Bible says, the reason Jesus succeeded was because he had his eyes on what? The joy that was set before him. Hello? Yes, listen to me. One of the reasons we make a mess of our Christianity and our calling is because we have a problem. And that problem is we have not learned the joy of delayed gratification. We want it now. You must have breakthrough now. You must marry now. You must have children now. You must build houses now. You must be popular now. You must be famous now. You must be very rich now. The word of God says, what motivated Jesus into facing the cross, into suffering, into going on despite everything, the Bible said he did not, he made himself of no reputation. If you were around when Jesus was around, you would not like to be identified with him. You would not like to be identified with him. Why? Because he was always controversial. Even from his birth. Why did he need John the Baptist? The Bible said John the Baptist was a forerunner who was sent to level the way for him. Is that not what the Bible says? He said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Why? Why? Because Jesus had no reputation. He didn't have a good name. But God made sure that his forerunner had such a good name that people think he qualifies to be the man. He was born by priestly people. He was born as a result of a miracle which shook the whole of Israel. That Elizabeth was pregnant. How can that old woman be pregnant? It was such a powerful miracle that she herself had to run and hide. Couldn't stand it. And when the baby came, unusual prophecies, powerful prophecies. And everybody knew him. Everybody was going to him. Everybody looked up to him. And everybody said, here comes the Messiah we've been waiting for. And then he threw the bombshell. He said, I'm not the... You are not what? You are not the Christ. When the Christ comes, what will he be that you already are not? He said, when he comes, I will not even be qualified to unlace his shoes. What? That heightened the expectation. That made people say, who is this? Who is the Messiah? And the day he came, when Jesus came to baptize, and John said, here he comes, the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. And they looked at the direction and they said, where is the one you are talking about? Amen. He made himself of no reputation. Deliberately. He didn't sin. So it's not as if he spoiled his reputation by sinning. He stood in the public and said, if any of you have convicted me of anything, come on, speak. You know me from the beginning. But Jesus has always been controversial. The way he was born was controversial. The way he was moving, his friends were controversial people. You will find friends among the kind of people you don't want to identify. Allowing people who are known as sinners to come close to him. He will even go to their house and eat. People will say, what kind of Messiah is this one? And he told them, when John the Baptist came, and he was fasting and didn't eat, you said he had a demon. Now I came, I'm eating now. You have your... So, because he did not dance to the tune they were expecting him to dance to. And he ended up, because the kind of thing he was teaching was controversial. These priests, all these people in the temple, they were making their money by making the law of Moses more stringent. They screwed them more and more. Before you can enter the temple, you have to do your washing and your oblation and all that. And then you pay. And Jesus came and said, what makes you dirty is not your hand. It's what is inside you. And he said, what kind of man? This man is spoiling our business. And before you know it, they got a good partner in Judas who handed him over to them. Very controversial Jesus. He was never identified among the others. Was never identified. These days, if you go to church, you want to kill the pastor. It's very easy to identify him. Oh, yes. If it's the churches that use color, just look at their necks. If they have a good parking space, you will see the pastor's parking lot. Go to the front row, you will see them there. Well, I'm sorry. It just happens to be the truth. Amen. Jesus, anytime he wanted to go and do a miracle inside, he would three people. Peter, James, and John. So you see four people go in, four people come out, you don't know who did the miracle. And every time he finished the miracle, he said, don't tell. He wasn't saying don't tell about the miracle. He was saying don't identify me. Shut up. It was so unnoticed, unknown that they had to pay somebody to identify him. Why did he go through all that? Because he was looking for the reward that was coming. Don't forget that Philippians chapter 2, I started quoting from verse 5. By the time you get to verse 9, he says, and God has also highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Why? Because he endured it. He endured temptation. That's what I want you to learn from this great high priest. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the something that this convention must convey to you. That you are already in the line of priesthood. The moment John 1:12 is fulfilled in your life, as many as come to him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God. Don't forget, to now be active, don't forget there are many princes, there will only be one king. And to be king, there are things you must prove that you are qualified to be. Huh? And so the word of God now says, here we are. Here we are. You are given a chance to prove yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 2, towards the end, says, if a person washes himself clean, he says he becomes vessel of honor. Because in a large house, there are vessels of honor, there are vessels of dishonor. Just as in a big royal family, there are princes who will never be king. Even though they were born in the line of kingship. One thing that made Jesus what he was, is that he looked away from everything and he went down. He descended low. All because of what the Father told him to do. That's what he says in John chapter 10. He said, nobody took my life from me. I put it down. Amen. Now, don't forget. I'm trying to see the time. I love Reverend Sanibi. I don't want it to come between us. So I want to be sure I keep his time. Hallelujah. Those animals, now listen, you know, those animals that were taken by the high priests when they went to the Holy of Holies, they were taken against their will. Have you ever seen a goat that say, make me sacrifice, make me, I want to die? No. The word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, what does that mean? That means God does not forgive for nothing. Every sin must be paid for. Thank God for Jesus. The Bible says his blood paid for it all, once and for all. For everyone that has been born from Adam until the last one. Is paid for, whether you take it or you don't take it. If you take it, it's there for you. You don't take it, that's your loss. But Jesus Christ, when he was going to the Holy of Holies, The Bible says he took his own blood. He took his own blood, which he willingly gave, unlike the animals and the pigeons that were killed against their own. Listen to me. If any of those goats were to stand and face you, and God said, you die for this person, we said, ask him, did I tell him to kill me? He made me do it. And that will nullify all your so-called sacrifice. This is why no animal blood can save anybody. Whether in the Old Testament, under Moses or anybody, it only covered it temporarily, waiting for the real blood. The blood of Jesus. This is when Jesus came, he had to go into the grave. He had to go to hell. He had to go and do what he did for to meet the need of everyone who believed him. Don't forget, Jesus Christ is the middle. Those people looked ahead to him. We look behind to him. The BC and the AD. You understand? It's right in the middle there. The before Christ and the years of Christ. Anno Domini. AD. And so there are those who look forward to their Savior. That's why Jesus told his disciples, hey, he said, you are so blessed. So many people want to see what you see. Oh, I, Isaiah, would have loved to see Jesus. How Jeremiah, how Ezekiel would have loved to see Jesus. But didn't. And those who saw him didn't even value what they saw. I have to round up, children of God. The question tonight, what are you willing to pay? What are you willing to pay to be what God called you to be? What price are you ready to pay? What price are you ready to pay? Listen to me, children of God. One reason Christianity is a mess that it is today is because we give people the wrong invitation in the very beginning. Oh, come to Jesus. He will solve all your problems. Come to Jesus, you have children. Come to Jesus, you will have money. Come to Jesus and all your troubles will finish. It's a lie. No, he never said that. What did he say? Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all you are heavy laden. All you labor, and I'll give you rest. And I'll give you rest. That is where we prefer to stop. Full stop. We don't want to read the rest. Why? Because the rest, verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. When we come, he gives us rest. He saves our souls. But then, that's just the beginning of it. Now, he didn't say, bring your neck so I can put my yoke. No. He said, take it and put it on your own neck. It's a decision you have to make. And so when you come to Jesus, expecting miracles and miracles and miracles, and you see, you can't make God fulfill a promise he never made. And so when you have been in a church for 2 years, 3 years, the reason you came is not fulfilled. You start looking for him other places. And when you don't find him early enough, you are likely to try the other things. But you know what Jesus said? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. And you see how he ends verse 29? And you will find rest at your own souls. Now the first rest he gives. The second rest, you have to find it yourself. How do you find it? You find it by your relationship with him. when your neck is in his yoke, that is invitation to labor with me. Invitation to plow with me. Invitation to be a part of why I have come into the world. And if that is what matters to you, then you will find what rest really, really means. In the midst of problems, in the midst of barrenness, in the midst of poverty, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of... This is what God is looking for. This is why John chapter 7 verses 37 to 39 says, in the last day, in the great day of the feast, he said, Jesus cried and said, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said. That is scriptural believing. There is unscriptural believing, which is what is pervading the church. But he says scriptural believing. What does it, how does it show? Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That is to say, scriptural believing makes you a conduit through which God can flow into your generation. No, that's not what we want. We want to have a relationship with God where he brings more and more and more. We become a drum, and soon we become the Dead Sea, always receiving, never giving out. We start stinking. Everything starts begin to die. Children of God, our chief priest taught us a lesson. He gave of himself totally to the point of death. Now, let me tell you something. He donated his life. He gave it. From the moment he died, it was God who took over. Did you hear me? Go and read the scripture. He said, God raised him. God raised him. The raising was God's business. What was his last cry? Father, into your hand, come in my spirit. And he let it go. That is to say, whatever God does with it, that is God's business. But you know what the word of God says? He said he will not suffer the soul of his beloved to see corruption. Your life will not see corruption if you will just give it to him. Yeah. Children of God, listen to me. 37 years ago, the Lord called me to full-time ministry as I was graduating from the university. 37 years ago. And my classmates were wondering if I still had my brain intact. Especially with the person God sent me to go and work with. It's a person who had no eyes. Physically. Even though through him many blind have seen. He never got his own sight until he died. But that was the person God sent me to go and work with. And I worked with him. I was with him for 8 years. After 8 years, the Lord asked me to start my own ministry. And as I'm moving on, 1995... I was in a friend's house in St. Paul, Minnesota, the USA. And God said, within a year, I want you here as a missionary. So 1996, I was as a missionary. I mean, I went there and I told God, I cannot be a missionary in America without my right to live in that country. God said, fill the form and go away. I filled the form and I left. 2 years after, American Embassy started calling me. Mr. Bancol, I said, yes. Where have you been? And I said, well, I'm here in Akure. So I went, took my family over. And then we went to America. And in 2009, God said, my son, you have 5 more years in America. I want you back in Africa. That's where I need you now. So in 2014... after I gave one of my children away in marriage, I came back to Nigeria and I've been here since, except for trips. Huh? Somebody heard this and he said, sir, did I hear you? You were in America. God told you to come here. I said, yes. He said, he trusts God. Yeah. He said, I trust God. God will not even give me, he won't even tell me that. So I said, how many countries have you gone? He said, I've not even gone out at all. I've not gone out at all. But if I go out, now listen to me, children of God. I'm here. This morning, I got this wound. You know how I got it? Because I have to pull water from the well. Yes. Because where I live, there had not been power to generate enough power to pump my water. So I have this blister here this morning because I have to draw water. And as I was drawing it, I remember that this will never have happened to me in America. But the question is, what kind of suffering can I go through that you compare with the man who left his glory and came here to die for me? I wasn't born in America. I mean, by the generosity of the American government, I'm an American citizen. But imagine the white Oyibo people who came here and they died here. They sold their mansion, sold everything, and came here and they died as a result of mosquito bite. My father in the Lord, Prophet Obadiah, told us in a meeting in the 1980s. He said, my children, you will all regret when you get to heaven. And all of us were saying, I will not regret. And he said, I know what you are saying, yo. You are saying you will not regret. Eh? He said, even I, your father, will regret. Aha. If it is all of us, then well. Now the explanation. He said, when you who are pursuing and praying and fasting to build a second house, when you get to heaven, if by the grace of God you make it, and you meet a person who had only one house and sold it because of the gospel, and you see the glory where God puts him, you will regret buying the second house. It's not a matter of how we are introduced into this thing. It's not a matter of understanding why we are here. Listen to me. You are not sent here to be anything other than being the priest of God. Every other thing is an adjunct. Every other thing is an adjunct. If you like, have 70 houses, no problem. God is not moved by that. You have private jets. That God is not moved by that. As long as you remain the priest that you are called. The trouble is that Jesus himself told his disciples and said, it's not going to be easy for rich people to make it. Because riches can be a source of serious distraction. We have to stop here. Our high priest is there, doing all he can, interceding for us, standing there for us, and he's watching and saying, will I waste all of this? Am I going to waste all of this for these people? So when you finish, so what are you going to tell him? Oh God, you know, I had a wife and 3 children, and they were happily married. Jesus said, do you ever hear Mrs. Jesus? You think Jesus didn't have what it takes to be married? The only thing I see in Jesus, why people might not like to marry him, was that he had no fixed address. No account. This guy was just using mouth of fishes and ATM of... He was 33 years old when he died. That's the pinnacle of achievement. That's when you want to be something. That's when you are so full of ambition. That's the point at which they killed him. And it's not that he was captured. No. When they came for him, he said, you came for me, right? Let these ones go. I know why I'm here. Why are you here? Stand on your feet, children of God. Why are you here? I thank God for your certificates. I thank God for your certificates. Hello? You know why I'm telling you my personal story? The devil will just tell you and say, that man that is talking those sweet mouth, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I know what I'm talking about because I've been there. I've been there. I'm still there. Till now, I still depend on God feeding me from day to day. He never fails. I graduated from the University of Ife when university was still university. I don't know what name to call your own. Now, this is your generation. Oh, yes. A personal friend of mine who is a professor in one of the universities was telling me how they gave him almost 2 million. They offered him, not gave him, they offered him almost 2 million naira by parents who want their children to have first class. So, the certificate you have these days is not a certificate that reflects in your ability. Just have paper certificate. It's a different thing. But I graduated from Ife when Ife was really great. I ended up with a very good, strong 2-2 and went back for my master's against the will of God. I went back for my master's because I wanted to prove to my classmates that I too could have a master's degree. So I ended up with a master's degree with no certificate. I'm a human being like you. I want to have sweet, beautiful things. But I've come to know that there is, you see, our former deputy vice chancellor here, who is now VC of Redeemer's University. I was telling him one day, I said, Awe, nobody will believe me if I tell them you are a member of my choir. Because he was. What I'm saying is this. If I see any of those people today, any of those who God allowed and called into academies, called into whatever, I discover I have an edge over them. That edge is not worldly. It's an edge of an access. It's an access to where not everybody has an access to. Not everybody can enter the holy. Not even the holy of holies. By the grace of God upon your life, you have an opportunity to choose how far you can go. How far you can, listen to me. Not all of you here are going to end up full-time ministry. But you are all called to be full-time Christians. Full-time priests of God. Wherever God puts you, in your church, in your neighborhood, in your family, in the nation, He expects you to be His priest, His representative to them there. And it will cost you the same thing that it cost Him. If it is less, He won't take it. That's why we have to go through what we are going through. See how much Job had to go through. See how much Job had to go through. In chapter 13, verse 15 of Job, he said, even if he cuts my head, I will still trust in him. I want you to talk to God. I want you to say, God, I want to take advantage of the offer you have given me. What a privilege to be called your priest. He said, looking unto Jesus,
the author and finisher. He was the high priest. He's your example. The Bible said, even though he was the Son of God, he led obedience by the things that he suffered. We now have a Christianity that wants to avoid suffering. It's not a Christianity that Jesus has taught us. It's not the one in which he has recommended. People are looking for churches where people don't have problem. They are looking for churches where people don't die. They are looking for churches where everything is good and rosy and good and rosy and good and rosy. They are looking for churches where the pastor must greet them every morning. Hello, are you doing fine? Lord, here am I. The grace to give you all. The grace to give you all. The grace to give you all. The grace to sacrifice all. The grace to lay everything on the altar for you. The grace to lay everything on the altar for you. Lord, release upon me in this convention. Release upon me, O Lord. Release upon me, O Lord. God is looking for priests. Where are the priests of God? Where are they? Those who are ready to pay the sacrifice. Those who are ready to give it all up for him. Those who are ready to give him all. Those who are ready to wait for the last. Those who are ready to wait. Those who are ready to delay gratification. Those who are ready to delay gratification. Those who are ready to keep their eye on Jesus. Those who are ready to say, Lord, you can take it all. Just let me have you. Paul said, everything that is profitable for me, I throw them away that I can know you. That I can know you. Wherever he puts you, he says you are there for him. As he is in heaven for you, he wants you to be here for him. Yes. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 In Jesus' name, we pray. Daddy, here we are. God is not looking for a crowd. He's not interested in a crowd. No, no. Every time he had a big crowd, he dispersed them with one sermon and they are gone. In Luke 14, the Bible said he had a mammoth crowd following him. And then suddenly he turned back. He said, if any of you want to be my disciple, you must hate your father, your mother, your sister, including your own life. And people started to reconsider. Because not looking for a crowd. Jesus Christ says in John 6:44, say, nobody comes to me except the Father draws him. We draw the people that come to us now by all kind of methods. Some normal, some abnormal, some demonic, some we just draw them compulsorily. If 10 of you here will get the message. If God will add 10 more high priests into this country, this generation is taking care. It's okay. Because the price is high. And the price, the first is PRCE, is quite high. But the PRIZE is also high. Peter said, what do we have to gain? And Jesus answered him, children of God, I want you to say one more time, help me to pay the price. It's not going to be easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus. Even his parents, his siblings, everybody found fault with him. Lord, give me the grace to pay the price you expect me to pay. Oh, the price of walking with God is high. It's costly. To be his mouthpiece, to be his representative, it will cost you so much. But Jesus, because of the crown that was set before him, he endured it. Give me grace, oh God. Grace to pay the price. Grace to stand with you. Grace to stand forever. Grace, Lord, to stand. Grace to wait. Grace to trust. Grace to be willing to be different from everybody. Grace to stand out in the crowd. Not caring. Not bothering. What people think or say about me. Grace. 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 Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Father in heaven, what a mighty God you are. What a loving daddy you are. You are looking for children who will serve you as if they were slaves. Paul said he is God's doulos. That is a slave that cannot get his freedom. That is what it takes to serve you. But daddy, our flesh rebels. Our flesh resists. And so we need your grace, daddy. We need grace to move on. We need grace to close our eyes to these temptations. We need grace to close our eyes to all these allurements of the world. We need grace, oh God, to say, give me Christ and take everything else. I ask, oh God, that you will reach us with those grace tonight. The grace that you had, which helped you to endure such an environment as in which you have found yourself. Will it please you, oh God, to release upon us that grace in the name of Jesus? I ask, oh God, that you will touch everyone. You will kindle in us the fire. Paul said, everything that was profitable for me, I threw them away. I count them as dung. Houses dung. Popularity dung. Money dung. But that's what you did. You lived a borrowed life. Slept in a borrowed grave. But when you rose, every name is under your name. Daddy, may we keep our eyes on that which is set before us. The joy that comes with winning. That by your mercy and grace, oh God, we shall win. We shall rule with you. And your name shall be glorified. Thank you for the privilege, oh God. In Jesus' name.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.